to the Godfathers of Podcasting, broadcasting live on the Shuly Network every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who've been broadcasting online since 1996. The Godfathers of Podcasting themselves, Donnie Da Silva and Chris Tidwell.
What's up, everybody? I'm Donnie.
And that over there, is the Marlin to my Dory, the Rick to my Morty, the Shrek to my Donkey. That's Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell. What up, Tid?
Shrek to your what?
Donkey. In this duo, I'm Donkey, you're Shrek, you're the big angry guy, I'm the comic relief.
Am I fucking angry?
What?
He says I'm angry.
You're always... Look at you now. Look at you.
This you're is always, normal. This is just angry. Mellow, me, everything's fucking even keel.
Take another hit off that pipe, buddy.
All right.
You're always angry. Tid's resting face is like, I'm ready to fight.
There is a thing called resting Tid face.
Resting Tid face.
Yeah, I ain't even gonna front. That's a real thing.
That would be a fun contest with the audience. Email us info@godfathersofpodcasting.com and show us your best resting Tid face. Take a picture, send it in.
100%.
I want to see everyone's best resting Tid face.
Yeah, we'll send you a free T-shirt if you win.
Our producer Andy's backstage. Andy, can you do a resting Tid face
right now?
Yeah.
You mean on camera or draw one?
Yeah. Well, like we can't hear it.
On the spot. Like guys back there trying to fucking do magic for this thing.
I'm trying to draw a caricature right now.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. How do you end up with those look at that?
Oh, that's not bad.
Wow. That's
pretty good, Andy.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'd say that's more like sexy Andy face.
See, he needed a moment to get into character because he's an actor. That's really good.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
How's your week been, brother?
It's been full. And you know what's even better about it? Because
you're doing 14 podcasts.
Well, that's neither here nor there. And you can check all of those out over either here or on SNME Radio or on my channel at Tid Talk, T-I-D-T-A-L-K.
I spent a good part of my week this week just watching Tid on his other podcast because I was literally peeing myself laughing, just watching him and Brady and Mike just get high out of their fucking skulls and just laugh at dumb shit and try to make each other laugh. It was great.
And we do a pretty good job. Making each other laugh. There's no doubt about it. It's some ridiculous stuff. So, it's been one of those weeks, and every day that gets closer, Donnie, we're getting closer to football season. So I am okay with all of that.
Bah, 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 bah. I need the football. I think the NFL sound effect.
Ooh,
on here.
We're not getting copywritten by them.
Fuck that shit.
Who knows? Very quickly, hello to everybody joining us in the chat this evening. Love you all. Thank you so much.
Hello there.
Hello, Brian. Hello, KB. Hello, Tiff. Hello, Joe.
Hello there.
Hello, Brady. Brady is joining us in there as well. Hello, Stacy. Tony DeVore. Everybody. Love you all. Fantastic.
Hello there.
How's your week been, Donnie?
Been good week, man. Kind of busy, kind of crazy.
All right.
I've got a vacation starting tomorrow. So no work for the next 7 days, which is sweet.
Good Very for excited. You.
I'm going to try and get out on the beach and get a shade or two darker because I haven't had a chance to do that this summer. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe next week I'll come back looking different.
God, we can only hope. Very quickly, though, because I saw it in there. Deuce Payer says CFL. I said football.
It doesn't believe in the CFL.
No. NFL.
I still think the NFL has the best football players in the world, but the CFL has the better game, better rules. If they put the NFL players with the CFL rules, better sport.
No, but that's not happening. So you have to take it at face value.
It would be a better game. I'm just saying.
That's all you ever do. And it's silly. Everybody knows. Listen,
how about right now?
Ends overseas.
What?
it ends overseas. Ends over C.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Well, C comes first alphabetically, so fuck you.
Really? I didn't know that. What was my name?
We're going to pause our little squabble because we really are like an old married couple. And we're going to take
top
this opportunity right now to introduce our guest. It is time right now, ladies and gentlemen, for the big hello. And this week's guest is making her third appearance on the program. It's been about 2 years since the last time she joined us, so it's been way too long, so we just had to have her back. Is she here? Where is she, guys?
She just stepped away from the mic. Oh, here she is.
Oh, she just stepped away.
Here we go.
Well, let's run down the short list of what makes her such a fucking force of nature. She's a published author. She spent 4 years over in Iraq. She became a nationally ranked weightlifter and a CrossFit athlete. She's been featured in a ton of magazines, including Inked, Strong, Hers, Oxygen, SweatRx, Sports Illustrated, and many more. She was also the first woman to ever work as a pit crew member in Sprint Cup Racing. And she's not just a shredded body and a pretty face. She's got brains too, bitches, because she's also a successful business owner. And sooner or later, she's going to take over the podcast world. And we're just going to look stupid sitting here for no reason. And on top of all that, she finds time to be a kick-ass mom. She had already carved out legit celebrity status from her work in the fitness world. But then in 2017, things went fucking nutty when she appeared for the first time in the reality TV show Big Brother. She finished third, despite having a busted up foot that happened during the competition. And she was invited back in 2020, where she competed on the All-Stars edition. And while she didn't win the game, she did get her prize because she connected with the man who's so handsome he makes straight dudes question themselves. Yes, she met and married the renegade Memphis Garrett. So I'd say Big Brother All-Stars worked out pretty damn well for her. Ladies and gentlemen, she loves red wine in a great big glass, but she doesn't need it to bring the sass. She's the best in her field, head of the class. You can all dream, but you'll never surpass. She's a real sweet woman. Don't try to harass. If you step out of line, she can beat that ass. I know she doesn't mind when I talk real crass. Say hello to the alpha chick, our friend Christmas.
Is that my cue?
Hi, Christmas. That's you.
Wah, wah, wah. There we go. Thanks. I love that. I mean, are you fighting for Zingbot's position? That was awesome.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Oh, buddy, that's interesting.
Is that not good?
I don't know. It's like my buddy's a guy that I worked with overseas. Like, they're my buddies.
Oh,
I guess we've been in this.
I call you buddy all the time. What do you want me to call? What should I call you? Toots? Like, what do you want me to say?
Ma'am. We're going with ma'am now because like you're a mom and everything.
I'm a fun mom.
You are. Hello, fun mom. How are you?
I'm good. It immediately just got weird.
In record time. Like, it always gets weird, but this time it just got weird faster, which is fine.
Fast. I'm gonna just, you know.
Hey, what do you have in there?
Red. I mean, no. I heard you say red wine. Just some white.
Wow. How drunk are you?
It's not the.
Is it first bottle, second bottle? Where are we at?
First, but I have a second backup.
All right. That's smart.
Cheers, guys. There we go.
There.
Listen, speaking of getting weird, it has been referenced on this show so many times. Your first appearance on our program when things got a little weird.
I got naked.
Do we have that video? Can we pull that up? Christmas's first appearance on this show. This is going back to 2020, I believe.
Yeah.
What? You have that handy Andy?
Handy Andy. That's his new handle?
Maybe.
I mean,
unless his power went out.
Here we go. This is back when Danny O was still part of the show.
Who was monitoring me?
Nobody. You were just undisciplined. But earlier, did you play the clip?
Okay, go ahead.
A photo on our Instagram account at Godfathers of Podcasting, and he posted a very
salacious, sexy picture of you, Christmas, where you're not wearing a stitch of clothing. And you've already alluded in this interview that you don't not like to uncommon. Wear clothes. In fact, I think you're horribly overdressed for the purposes of this interview, but that's just me.
I want my grandpa sweater, like a godfather.
Safe. Oh, clever.
Safe with Dan around.
All right, hold on,
A friend of ours,
where shit goes weird,
Sasha Wallach, she posted on your photo and said, "How do I get abs like her? Not kidding, I'm serious." And I'm wondering if the Christmas fitness app is holy shit. I'm talking, and there she's well, goddamn. Okay,
this is.
Did you guys notice that?
It took me forever to notice.
You were just on your roll, and I'm over there.
It's like, that's typical. She's naked, and I'm still blabbing about something no one cares about. There's a naked girl sitting in front of us.
That's actually what was the weirdest thing about that podcast.
The fact that I didn't pick up on it right away?
Like, tunnel vision.
Okay, well, I did learn from my mistakes because I want to share this with you. A friend of yours who joined us on the show. Andy, do we have that second clip?
Somebody that's seen me naked?
Who hasn't?
Oh, this person's definitely seen you naked. You do have some big shoes to fill because your friend Christmas, when she came on this show, she had one of the most memorable appearances in the history of this program because she ended up naked at the end.
Okay, that's fine.
So I'm
done and done.
Okay, she refuses to let Christmas get one over on her. I like that.
Amazing. Look, and this is great OnlyFans content because I'm naked fan
and a fan.
There's a fan.
You can clip this and put this on your OnlyFans.
She's actually one of my favorite humans in the whole world. Like, I love her. She's like super authentically her, and you know,
she's awesome. For anyone who's listening and not watching, that's Elena Davies from Big Brother Season 19, along with Christmas. Oh, my God.
There it is.
I can only do it for a few minutes because I'm, you know, I'm a responsible human.
A few minutes of Christmas nudity? It was so funny when...
Is he below that line or am I...
no, you're good. You can go a few more inches down.
Like, you know, like when you're on the Zoom call, oh, you actually had so much...
Just no, you're good. It's still at your neck, so you could go a little lower.
Oh, well, I'm a beautiful.
Says the guy who's wearing his like outdoor winter clothing inside here on this thing. How your kid is old now. How did you manage to keep?
Okay, I gotta get dressed up. We're gonna talk about my kid now.
No, I was just not the kid. I just wanted to know how you managed to keep the mom boobs.
The mom boobs were bought. Did you?
Oh, that a girl.
You guys pull up some old photos like when I was competing. I never wanted to get a breast augmentation while I was competing because I knew that it was going to affect my competition so much. So early on, I got them and then I got pregnant, which was like really great timing. So that's why they look so natural.
Look at that. That's the way to do it, ladies.
They're actually really pushed up right now.
She can't stop touching them.
I mean, if you paid for them, you should be able to touch them anytime you want, right?
Well, it's my body.
That's what I'm saying.
It's actually hilarious.
Or not, it's my body. I'm big on just loving your body. Like, it's not always sexual, right? Like, you should be looking at yourself in the mirror naked and loving it as is. And maybe there's some things you want to improve or change, but who cares? Your body operates for you. It performs on demand for you. So you need to give it some love. And I love it. I love, you know, if you're not, like, how do you know if something's weird coming up if you're not examining your body on a regular basis?
Body checks are important.
That's why I don't go to the doctor. This is what I say all the time. If I find something, I'll come see you. I check myself out every day. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to the doctor. Screw that.
But like, also, how are you expecting somebody else to touch you appropriately when you don't know how to like comfort yourself, soothe, and not necessarily masturbation, but self soothe.
Okay. I was going to say because there's that finger trick, and you don't find that out like on your own.
Listen, that's a later in life. If they discover it.
Yeah.
Have you been to the doctor for the finger trick?
Have I?
Yeah.
Why do you got to go to the doctor for it?
because they're checking your shit.
Look to see if you can find anything first.
Yeah, like I want to check it out myself.
Let me.
That feels different today.
Hold on. Is that a watch? I don't remember that being in there.
Is that where my watch went?
Don't cough too hard. You'll lose all the hardware.
You have a hard time turning that alarm off.
It was so funny when Elena was on because we were broadcasting live. And she's like, I just got a text from my manager. And she's like, for the love of God, please don't stand up. And she's like, I really just want to like put it all out there for you guys. But my manager's yelling at me right now.
Oh, yeah. I remember that too. she would. But, you know, she has a fan page too.
And here's the funny part. When you two were on Big Brother season 19 together, there was all kinds of Christmas and Elena nudity that ended up online.
That's not where I thought you were going with that. Okay.
No. I'm just saying like you're changing or you're like whatever, you just don't care. And really? Snapshots just showed up online. Yeah, tons of them. I think a lot of that stuff's been scrubbed since. However,
good scrubber.
I find it interesting when I heard this season, one of the competitors, so Big Brother season 25 started last week. One of the competitors, I think it's America, had her bikinis confiscated by production because they said they were too revealing.
Yeah, I was not allowed. Like all the bikinis that I wore on both seasons were not actually mine.
Really?
And I brought my conservative bikinis. You know, I thought it was like, I don't know. I mean, it's weird because it's a family show, but it's also like really like they talk about stuff so openly and it's like, it's not regulated and except for, well, they put it on the show, I guess, but I don't know. I don't get it because they do everything else and it's, but also these rules have been in place for a long time. So why change them?
I guess. But I mean, at the end of the day, like they know sex sells. I mean, it's the whole reason why they have the live feeds.
Well, we had, when I came in last time, side boob was not allowed. So you couldn't have a shirt with side boob, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess they don't have to sell because they have a premiere of 8 million people anyway. So,
yeah, that show is like, I mean, we talked about this last week with our guest, comedian, director, Joey Medina, how when the last writer strike happened, the reality world just exploded. And now that there's another huge writer strike with no end in sight, like the reality TV shows are just fucking raking in the ratings right now.
Oh, well, are you coming over with some cameras tomorrow and we're going to film the Christmas chaos show? Or the weekend? Sometimes I wake up, I'm like, what happened? I end up here. I make good decisions, right?
Would you consider that? Would you consider a Christmas reality TV show where you're just being filmed 24/7 in your home?
That's been like the last decade of my life anyway. So yeah, at least I get paid directly for it.
Right. Ted, do we have super chats?
Yeah, there is one up there that I do want to read very quickly because it does make sense right now. Framke says, some people drink for super chats. You have pretty ladies on topless. Who is winning? We're rich. We are winning.
I'm winning.
Yes.
I get to drink and I'm topless.
Real cheers to that.
Christmas is winning. So is always. There like a prerequisite for this show? Because this was a girl you said. I don't watch the show. I'm sorry. But you said her name is America?
America, yeah.
And we got Christmas.
If you have a fucked up name that's unusual, you're
a front runner. Does that get you to the front of the line on this thing?
I think maybe a unique name is more of a correlative to that person's reality, like personality. You guys know what this is. Come on.
Field goal.
This is the position Tim likes best.
BBE.
Yeah, you're raising the roof right now on it?
Energy.
I mean, listen, psychologically, there's probably something to the concept of if you have a super unique name, you probably go through life developing a more unique personality.
Yeah, that's kind of you read this perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, that's what that means.
Yeah.
What kind of sign language is that one?
Speak Christmas.
It's a Christmasism.
That is not a fucking word. I'm just telling you.
It's a word for me.
The Christmasism. I mean,
people are going to hashtag, they're going to refer to all this stuff as the Christmasisms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like, what kind of person would you be if your name was like Sarah?
I mean, hopefully a great life. But it wasn't as tough growing up with Sarah as Christmas or America. Like, we had to be nice because everybody made fun of us. So we either fought back and didn't have any friends, or we were nice and got destroyed either way. So that's why we were good Big Brother material.
Right. And I mean, your husband has one of the more unique names as well, right?
Yes.
I mean, I've never met another Memphis. Well, I did once, but she worked at a topless bar.
That probably wasn't her real name.
I don't know. I can't confirm. I can't confirm if that was her real name.
So what's funny, so we have a beautiful blended family where it's Christmas, Memphis. Now, we were both single parents, one son each when we met. Mm-hmm. And his son, his name is River Whalen. And mm-hmm. my son's name is Loyal Atticus. Mm-hmm. So when people meet us, one, they don't believe that both our names are Christmas in Memphis. And they're like, oh my gosh. And we're like, well, here's our kids. And they're two beautiful little boys. It seriously looked like God was like, and I'm going to mess with the whole world with this family. So I was like, it's so funny to see people's reactions, but you know, we had the same concept for naming our kids as we did for ourselves, that same kind of concept of like, give them something unique that they can own to be theirs or just integrate into their life.
I mean, I don't think a mom named Christmas can name her son Brad. It just doesn't, trickle down properly.
My brother's name is Christopher, so.
Ugh. I didn't know that. Is that right?
Gross.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Does anyone call you Chris for short?
Only people that get punched in the face.
Nice. Is there a short, is there an abbreviated version, like a nickname of your name that anyone calls you? No. It's always Christmas.
Yeah. My very, very best friend, and my husband doesn't even call me this, but my very best friend, Lindsay, she can call me X.
Oh. That's cute.
And then I have some people that I demand Madam X. No, I'm kidding.
What do they get? What do they have to pay?
Their soul.
Yeah, don't you know how that whole like Dom and thing works?
Yeah. For that, you got to go to christmasfans.com.
Call me X, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, we can mention that right now too. Eh? If people want to see a different side of Christmas, they can always go to Christmas Fans, right?
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing is that it's not public, so you actually have to know the link in order to get onto it.
You can't search it?
No, I got everything scrubbed. I didn't know like you could. Anyway, so the good thing about this is that if you take a screenshot, your account will automatically get disabled. And other account that you try and open up through that IP address or something else, that it'll reject you. So they really try and protect the models on the pages, but it's Christmas-Fans, which I love.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Everyone should go subscribe. I'm checking it out.
Hey, I'm going to press pause for a second.
We're live, but whatever. It's all good.
I don't know if she understands how the pause thing works on a live show.
Christmas can do what she wants.
You know, wow. There you go.
I think for the people tuning in to see Christmas that are Big Brother fans, someone just sent me an email that said, are we going to be watching Big Brother tonight with Christmas? No, we're not doing that. This show will go off the air and you can go watch Big Brother if that's what you want to do. And Christmas may do that with her glass of wine and I will have my glass of bourbon and Tid will absolutely not be watching.
I'll probably have both of those things, not wine or bourbon, but probably just pot and beer.
Would you not give the show a chance though? Like, would you ever not just sit back and like take in this show and see why this reality show has been going for 23 years and what the fuss is about? You wouldn't give it a shot?
If I was paid to.
You're doing this.
It might be it might be something that I do behind my new Patreon.
Oh,
new watch alongs. When that
would actually be funny
stuff.
That would actually be funny. Off, so yeah, who knows?
I would actually love to see you as a competitor on Big Brother. Like, I would take wagers on how long it would take for you to get kicked out.
Probably before the finish of the opening credits.
It would be in the first 5 minutes when everyone enters the house and they're all trying to find their own bed, and you were slow walking in because you're doing the cool guy walk and you don't have a bed. You're like, someone's going to die. That would set it off.
It would probably be like, because I'm sure that all the shows are the same. You got a couple of people already sitting in the living room when the new person comes walking in and everybody's excited. Oh, hey, who's joining us on the fucking show or whatever? I would literally walk through the door, stop, look, nope, turn around, walk out.
Like, we're just debating how long it would take Tid to get kicked off if he was on the next season of Big Brother.
I mean, I think this one, I don't think this was record time, but I think this guy, what an idiot.
Yeah, you're talking about Luke from Big Brother 25. Listen, in week one, he gets the boot for dropping the N-word.
They're like, look, you are watched every second. You need to understand that you have no privacy. And they tell you, they're like, they actually do sensitivity training before you go on. You know, so I want to give them a little props for this. And I get, like, you can take things out of context. I'm not defending him, but I like, that was not okay. Like, who's, no, like that, I thought that was extinct years ago. Years and years and years ago. Like, I thought that was just like...
Yeah, no. And the way he did it too, because I watched the clip. It didn't air on TV. It was part of the live feeds. And this is another new wrinkle, right? It used to be that the first week or so, there were no live feeds.
Oh no, right away, man.
Now it's like from Jump Street, you got live feeds. There's this douchebag. So he was in there talking with a couple of other dudes, and he drops the N-bomb talking about he went into one of, and there's the clip of when it happened. He's laughing his ass off about how he went into a bedroom where a bunch of the African American ladies were hanging out, and he drops the N-bomb. And I'm like, bro, there's no way you can say, oh, I was taken out of context. Like, there's no defense. There's no defense.
I mean, at the same, like, yeah, look at that face. Listen, I don't want to shit on any house guests because it's psychologically like trauma going through that experience.
I'm sure
and
it is. I'm
sure what he had to get to, and then you're like day one, you're gone. Well, you know, week one, you're gone. But it's. I don't know, man. I can't even wrap my head around it. There's nothing. I never want to like put down another house guest because it's really, really mentally hard to be in there. 85 days, and then another 80 days. But that was like. No excuses. You weren't even like, you're still at home mentally there, yeah. Right? Like, you're behaving like you are at home.
And I know that a lot of the house guests on the show, past, present, whatever, there's a bond there, right? Like, you get to know people. It's a trauma bond. And you get to know people that have been on the show before you, since you. I don't know how many of those past events you attend personally, but I know there's tons of them that are always going on. And a lot of people just stay in touch through social or whatever, but there is a bond. I have not seen people that have been evicted by production or self-evicted from the show. They never seem to be part of those circles. It seems like they just sort of get cast aside.
They really, so because like there's this understanding with, the only thing that I can really parallel to put it like in context is it's like going through boot camp with a military buddy. Mm-hmm. Only you and that person understood that experience at that time. But then you meet other people and you have that instant connection. And because you know that you've both gone through hell, but you loved it. And when somebody, it's kind of like getting a dishonorable discharge, right?
Yeah.
You're like, it doesn't matter how messed up the situation was, like for you to be living in there and experiencing it, you still have like a certain amount of honor to how you act and integrity of how you play the game. And people that like, we had a girl that self evicted and it was like, you can't look at all the millions of people that applied. And then you're just going to be ignorant or selfish or whatever, set in your ways and pass up all those people that could have come in your space, your place, and actually respected the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, you get pretty, I won't say blacklisted, but you're like, I don't want to associate with that because it's not that it's a good look, like, oh, I want to make sure I have PC, but really you just want to make sure that you are. I mean, it just shows their character, right?
Right. 100%.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm curious to see how production handles it because there have been evictions by production for behavior, for violation of morality, violence, whatever it may be, on BB US and BB Can over the last bunch of years. And there has been criticism in the past where production doesn't address this. There was a situation on BB Can not that long ago where someone was evicted for the exact same reason, like uttering racial slurs. And then they said on TV, this person was ejected for violating the rules of the game. But they didn't call it out what the person, and I feel like they should.
Fine, but they didn't do it. Here's the thing about it is that some things are so vague. That one was not vague.
No.
Right? But then there's some other things that are super vague that I don't know. You don't know if they're doing it to self-evict. You don't know if they're doing it to actually, because they're actually like not there, you know? But the spirit of the game is that they don't interfere.
Yeah.
So they are not going to interfere unless it's absolutely necessary. And when there's a gray area about what somebody said, whether we agree with it or not, they're usually going to err on not doing anything.
I got a question about that I want to ask you, but Tid, you wanted to jump in?
Well, I was just going to say earlier that like there's got to still be some kind of a sense of self-accountability when you go and do a show like this. Like you still have to realize that, okay, you can... I'm sure that there's a lot of playing stuff up for the cameras, but at the end of the day, you got to know that everything is immediate accountability at all times, right? I mean, you can really find out a person's real outside character at the same time, which is what I think people are finding out about, you know, the guy who's dealing with his problems this season.
So the challenge with that is that nobody, so you had some people that were repeat, right? And then you had some people like, I would say that everybody that goes in there, they're told that, but they don't actually know what that experience is like. You have no idea how the public is receiving you and you have never been in the spotlight before.
Right.
You've never had to actually be buttoned up 24/7 for 3 months if that's the act that you're doing. And they don't realize that that one tiny little whisper is actually what is now the entire world is talking about. So that's really what I think it is. They do tell you everything all the time, no matter what. But then you have these kids. Well, when I say kids, there's people my age too, but nobody has had that type of minuscule exposure before and unknown accountability until afterwards.
Right.
That is what's crazy. Cause you know, you think you're hated or loved. I mean, it's kind of wild to know what the public thought of you afterwards or so-and-so afterwards. And they're like, man, I thought I was like hated all along. And then they were like the most liked in America. Hated in the house, loved in America, right? But
and it's funny when you see the fans, whether it's on social media or whatever, responding to Big Brother house guests. It's like these people make these definitive decisions about a person. I hate her. I love him. I hate her. She's a bitch. Like you say one comment that someone doesn't like, they hate you, not just for that episode or that season, forever. You know, and there's no changing their minds. It's like political allegiances. It's like, Jesus, can we just be a little more open-minded?
I mean,
I remember saying to you the very first time we had you on the show, there was people, oh, she's a bitch and she's this and that. I'm like, y'all ever spend 5 seconds talking to Christmas? This girl's sweeter than apple pie. You know, well, maybe it's apple pie moonshine, but it's apple
pie. Yeah, we're talking about.
Big Daddy Dodo with a question here very quickly, guys. Okay. Big Daddy Dodo says, would you go on BB again if given the opportunity? And do people really get super drunk in there?
Oh, yeah.
One, no, they don't give us booze. They'll give us, if they give us booze, it's like once every 14, like couple weeks.
Because then it becomes Jersey Shore.
And then they'll have like 7 house guests and give you 5 beers.
Oh. What?
So, listen, it's everything's a ploy to like make you rack your brain and make you go crazy.
You trying to get me to go on this fucking show, Donnie?
See, this is why I actually like Big Brother, because everything that happens is designed to break your brain. Everything on that show is designed to break your brain. And yeah, it's that sociological experiment of how long before people snap. What's that, Christmas?
And foot. I'll tell you, most people snap within a second week.
Keep up.
Like everybody was crying in one day. And like there was a course of like, there was about 24 to 48 hours that everybody in the house was just like weeping. And it's like there's a break and you either are able to figure it out and go forward or you just like spin out.
Our producer, Andy, is a Big Brother super fan. I think he wants to ask you a question, Christmas.
Oh, I thought he was going to tell me to be quiet.
Hi, Christmas. No, not at all.
Nice to see you again.
You too. I'm a big fan of yours, especially in the last 35 minutes.
More so than on Big Brother.
You took off your top and I forgot all my questions.
And I gave you better ratings.
Right? Exactly. by coincidence, I actually tried out for Big Brother season 1 in Canada.
I did not know that.
I did, yeah. I was just curious, 2 questions. What made you want to apply for Big Brother? And when did you know that you were in, that they were going to take you?
It was actually a short application. They did call me, like, but I did have to go through the application. So they had actually tried to get me the year before, but I was on tour for my book. And then I was doing another tour that I actually cut short to go on the show. And honestly, when the guy messaged me, when the recruiter messaged me about it, I knew I was in.
Nice. Did you have
you go through the process? Like, I had to go through the process. They still had to choose me. I still had to like fill out the application, do all the information, go through all the psych things.
Video audition, the cattle call.
Yeah. And so like, I knew, I was like, this is it. Let's do it.
Sensitivity training. And she was like, fuck you.
What made you want to apply for the show?
I was ready for the next challenge. I honestly was. Like, I had already dominated the 3 other sports. I was getting bored.
But it sounds like they reached out to you initially, right?
They did. But
yeah, so that makes it more attractive. Yeah.
I did. So I was really kind of, though, I was just touring a lot. I was traveling like 20 days out of the 30 of a month. And I was just doing my book tour, public speaking, you know, just kind of. And once I get a little like, I have to be busy or else I get in trouble. And so when they called me, I was like, perfect timing. I'm ready for something different. And I love the competitiveness of it. I love the competition. I love that. Listen, you can get upset with me because I'm not fitting into your box of the person that you want me to act like, because I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to that 500,000 or a dollar. It doesn't matter. Right. I want it to win. And people get crazy because I did whatever I needed to do to win. And that's why they chose me, because they, a very strong spirited competitor that was female. And I don't care what people think of me.
Let me ask you something. When you were on the show, I'm pretty sure both times. And then afterwards, even when you were on our show talking about your experience, you made it clear that you weren't looking for a showmance. Right. No. You weren't one of those that went in looking for it. And even when you were clicking with Memphis, you were still like, you were vibing, but you were still kind of like not looking for a showmance on TV, right?
No way. I went there to win. We avoided each other. Like, he'd come into the room and be like,
Yeah. You put the fourth field up.
Yeah.
Season 19. Was there anyone that you thought for a second, male or female? You're like, you know what? I'm here on crutches. If I flirt a little, I could probably advance my game.
I mean, in the beginning for a while, there's definitely some interest in Elena.
Okay.
Yeah. Like there was actually my girlfriend. I came out and my girlfriends were like, we thought you were going to have a showmance with Elena. But you know, she picked Mark. I actually didn't go for it, but I was like, actually was like, I kind of stay with her too, because she's just, we get a lot, like, we're very similar, obviously. We're like, we're just, we are exactly who we want to be and zero fucks about who doesn't like it.
Yeah, Elena's awesome. Andy, did you have another one?
She was so funny. I just loved hanging out with her.
Saying that, did you like Josh on the show?
I love Josh on the show. Like, I actually tried to, like, avoid him in the beginning, but I just love, like, he needed a friend, you know, he needed a hug.
Who saw him winning the show, though, at the beginning of the season?
Nobody.
I don't know if anybody saw that coming.
He's a fucking 12-year-old in a linebacker's body.
He was going to night one. I was like, no, you don't want to do that. He, like, runs during the competition. He runs across the yard and tries to scale the wall. Nicole's standing there hosting the competition, and she's going,
right.
What? What is happening? And then he was like, everybody's out to get me. I'm like, yeah, because you're acting a fool. So pull yourself together. And then, but it was, I mean, he's a super fan. So
yeah, he helped make the show for sure.
He was super, super smart about his game on the second half. But the first half was just like this crazy fight. Yeah.
He was a train wreck. Let's be honest. Emotion. He was a train wreck.
Yeah. But I'm actually so proud of him, because he's just done so much, and he's a really incredible human, and I saw that. But now he's like really, he's incredible. He impresses me every day.
Andy, I was going to ask Christmas a question, and Stacy actually posted it in the live chat. If you can pull it up.
Sure.
It was a question about production.
Fangirling? Oh, the other
one. No, a question about production. And I see Tiff's super chat. We'll get to that as well. But if you can find Stacy's question, because I was going to ask it to Christmas anyway, because this is the most common question that we get whenever there's a BB guest on the show.
Oh, man.
There it is. From Stacy Allen. Christmas, how much do the producers manipulate the players to control the game? This is a long-going conspiracy theory, as you know, that production gets involved to make the votes go a certain way, to get certain people immunity, to get certain people to win the veto, you know, and people feel like production really fucks with the game. Your response?
Yes. Yes. One, how strong is your will to know that what you hear and see, you can trust in yourself, right? And then you get asked a question, the tone, the question, they plant seeds, they keep asking it in a different way, or they'll, you know, you have to repeat how this, like, it's a bubble that you recorded, and then they get to edit whatever the America sees, right?
Right. Sure, that's for sure.
And people that are like, I can't believe you, like, they don't straight up say, hey, but they ask questions that plant seeds in your mind. So you start whatever. And, you know, on a long enough timeline, you do go crazy. You go crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think at the end, what's his name? We were convinced that he was a gangster. Like, everybody was convinced in the whole house that he was a gangster, just because we didn't know he was a stay-at-home dad, and we couldn't believe his stories.
Oh,
I was trying to think who you're talking about. Like, Mark? He looks like Wreck-It Ralph.
No, not Mark. Not Cody.
Put up that cast photo again.
Oh, man.
You got that cast photo?
Yeah. He was fourth.
Can we zoom in on Mark? Is that possible? Mark's in the top left corner for anyone who hasn't watched. That is the real life Wreck-It Ralph right there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
How
different.
Yeah. That's nutty.
So, yeah, you did, but, like,
do you feel production actually got involved with rigging games and making sure that whoever they won?
No.
Yeah, because that's the conspiracy that goes on.
No, but you can, if they spin a story for the person.
Sure.
You know, if you're hated in the house and then you're loved outside the house, like, whatever. It's like, whatever. It's, I don't know how it works, but.
So the season you experienced and the season you watched back later, was it two different seasons to you?
That's a good question.
What is the question?
He asked if what you did in the house felt different when you watched it on TV.
I didn't watch my season.
Oh, really?
Hey, me neither.
I did. I did. I tried a few.
Ted, you got to apply this October. Big Brother Canada.
Let me take
it. No, you've already told me that there's only like 5 fucking beers in the house.
Okay, but
how long are you in this house? How long are you in this house?
100 days. If you win,
100 days. You don't leave the house for 100 days.
But you won't win. Don't worry. That's only. But if I won't
leave. That's the thing.
It would be funny if Tid got
leaving.
It would be funny if Tid got evicted and they had to forcibly remove him. Like, how many guys that would take?
Well, I mean, that would be perfect for the show, though. I'm not going to, like, drop end bombs and get kicked out of there like a schmuck. No, I'm going to make him call the SWAT team and have to forcibly remove me from the house.
Like that, the security guys all dressed in black in WWE?
Right?
Tid would sit in the eviction chair and be like, I'm ready to catch a case. I am not stressing this one bit.
I actually think that we should make t-shirts that say, go ahead, evict me.
Yeah, I dare you. That's the Dr. Will strategy.
Your brand, when you go into the house, you're going to be like, evict me.
Right?
That's literally the Dr. Will strategy. Right?
Yeah, but it's funnier coming from him.
That's exactly true. Yeah. And Tid's not good looking like Dr. Will, so.
Duff.
Right? We had a super chat, I think, right?
She took it back after that comment, asshole.
I see it. Can I click it?
Tiff, thank you so much for the $20. Christmas is great. And some people around here prefer Hanukkah, but okay. What is better than a strong, beautiful woman? Thanks for joining us. Absolutely.
Agreed.
Thank you, Tiff.
Christmas is awesome.
From one strong woman to another.
Where did that sound even ever originate from?
Who the fuck knows?
Because right that is terrible.
It's so right? obnoxious. I agree.
And imagine it's used on every morning zoo radio show out there. That's what you want to hear at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning on your drive to work. Right? Ugh.
Yeah, thanks for taking my questions, Christmas. I'm going to go produce, guys.
Thanks, Andy.
All right.
The chat is all commenting. Andy has love in his eyes. Andy is smitten. Andy's fangirling.
I couldn't even see his. Yeah, there is his eye. Well, that's because he was like the reflection.
Andy, if Christmas was not a married woman, would you be shooting your shot?
100%.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Good is he a Jordan? He like, can you do those little edits when you guys post this later with the little hearts going bing, bing, bing?
Put hearts in his eyes?
Absolutely.
That would make me really happy, actually.
We'll clip that.
I think we would love that. What just happened to our background? Andy's like drunk on love right now, so he's just pushing buttons.
Did he put us in the basement?
Yeah. I don't know where we are. We're on another show now. There we go.
been sent to the barn.
Sorry, guys. I was going to bring up a special emoji, but it wasn't up there.
It's no problem, buddy. You just go on living your best life.
All right. Strike one.
What is the question that fans ask you the most that you're so sick of answering?
That one.
Actually, it's not even fans. It's just people. Is that your real name?
Oh, okay.
All right. Still don't ask that.
But honestly, like, I don't know. I don't get sick of answering. Like, they all have like kind of, it's wild because they really have different questions.
Mm.
Yeah. So I don't have an answer for you.
Is there
the real life answer is that your real name? And I'm like, Google me, bitch.
There's people in the chat that have been asking if you'd go back on Big Brother again, if they invited you on.
Third time's a charm.
You just Janelle this shit. Just keep fucking going. So the answer is yes. You're a competitor, and if they asked you, you'd be back.
Yeah, I've just been so close to that winner circle every single time.
I know.
I'm just like... But I would actually do it completely different this time. I would be like, I would be terrorizing. I would pour water in people's beds. I would just be like cranky. I would be crumpness. Is it crumpness? What's the crumpter?
Krampus.
I'd have like a split.
Are you still on the first bottle?
Oh, the first bottle of white wine? Red wine?
Oh yeah, it's my first glass.
Okay.
Oh man.
Catch up. Come on, girl.
That's why I'm great for BB. I don't need booze to be crazy.
Crazy.
That's true. Andy, sorry, we have a bunch of questions in the chat. Can we throw up some rapid fire for Christmas? There's a bunch from some of the ladies in there that I thought were great.
Awesome.
Oh, start with this one from Stacy. Stacy says, can Christmas tell us about her racing days? What did she do and whose car did she work on?
What's up, Stacy? Full disclosure, I liked it when I tried it, and then I hated it. At the end of the race, I was like high off of the fumes, and I had a headache, and I thought I was going to be nauseated. But I worked with Clint Bowyer on Michael Waltrip team, and I was a tire changer and then tire prepper, and I don't know what else the answer the question was. But
as the only woman in the pit, were you getting hit on nonstop?
No, they hated me. I was that's woo.
Really?
Well, here's the thing is that when I first started, because I got recruited for that too. Okay. I didn't know that I was actually getting recruited for it. And so when you go and they were like, this has never been done, I'm like, okay, so what? I basically go into like, oh, no women has done this sport or whatever before, let me go do it. And I strange comment.
Are you looking at the live chat?
I know. I got so distracted. There's a rope in a garage. I'm like, somebody's trying to murder me.
Yeah. Someone's trying to get on your bad side. Someone's trolling. Yeah.
So I show up for practice and they look at me and like, I'm 5'3 and 120 pounds. What the heck am I going to do? Right. And, you know, let's be real. Those good old boys, they discriminate against a pretty girl. So, and then I started training, and then we started going to the gym, and they realized that I was kind of like a honey badger. And like then I earned their respect. So it just took a while. Like I was shunned. And then it took a while. And then they were like, oh, okay.
She's like, are you a car chick? Like, do you spin wrenches?
No.
No,
I hadn't even changed my own tire before I went and changed.
You just did it for clout and for the sake of doing it.
I got duped into it. I got called into this thing and I was really good at hitting lug nuts. And so they were like, do you want to do this? And kind of the same thing about Big Brother. I was like, sure, let's try it. I just say yes to a lot of different things.
Right. I've noticed that.
it creates a really beautiful, fun, interesting life.
And a killer resume.
Tiff says, what part of your body do you think is your biggest strength? And you decide what strength means.
My brain, because I'm going to outsmart all y'all. My boots. honestly, I think that like my it's no body part. Like what? Okay. I love my body. And then, but I do think that like I'm a smart woman. I focus and I'm disciplined. And when I decide something, it gets done. So
there's someone in the chat that's like fully trolling. And I want to throw this at you because I know you're not afraid.
Oh, yeah. Give me a troll, motherfucker.
Yeah. I know you're not afraid of shit like this. So, this guy who said she bullied Jessica and was a sheep for Paul. We saw her true colors. How do you respond to that?
Hi, baby Carl. Let's go ahead and look at this name. First of all, change your fucking name because nobody likes a crybaby. Two, don't come at me and talk to me about what I did. When you weren't there, you may have watched a glimpse of the thing on TV, but you don't leave my life. And if we were to come to your house for 24 hours, I bet you would be canceled 10 times.
Agreed.
There it is.
Fuck off, crybaby.
Crybaby Carl, you thought she was going to run from your shit. You thought she was just going to run from your shit.
Here's what I normally do is I try and like kill them with kindness, but sometimes people need to be told that they're fucking idiots and they need to get a damn life, right? So normally I'd be like, well, I try and get to the root and usually they're just mad at their mom.
Yeah.
And they want to take it out on me.
Let's be honest. Jessica was not being bullied by anybody.
Listen, when you play the victim, you look like the victim.
Yeah, give me a fuck.
But also, here's the thing. It's Big Brother.
Yeah.
You get to do anything and everything that you want. You could have been a bully or victim. Maybe I played a bully. Maybe I played a victim. It doesn't matter. It's part of the game. You do what you need to do. This is not, let's go ahead and do a social experiment and see who's the best person in 3 months by putting them into this situation. Oh, I get mad about it.
There's another one up here. Is your foot fully healed? Because you were my favorite from Clinton Merchant.
Clinton! Okay, I'm obsessed with this guy. I love him so much, and I still owe him a care package. I'm really terrible at mailing things. Sorry. But it's healed enough. Like, it hurt. I feel it every day, so I have to take, like, a really good anti-inflammatory. I will need surgery again sometime in the next 10 years or so. But, I mean, other than having to get surgery on my neck.
I was going to say, like, people are talking about your foot. They don't realize you had neck surgery a couple months ago.
I did. I wonder if I have a picture of it. So basically I ruptured two discs and almost ruptured a third on my honeymoon.
Attaboy, Memphis.
Atta girl, Christmas.
I'm sure Memphis was bringing the ruckus. That's what happened. That's our boy. Mr. Garrett. Bringing the noise.
For the longest time, people were like, how did you do that? And I had to get a neurosurgeon. So they did three fusions with two plates. So now it's reinforced.
Yeah, I remember talking to you right before you had the surgery and you were in so much pain. And then we talked right after and you were just like going through hell with your recovery. But fuck, man, you are tough.
Hard. Like, that was incredibly hard. And I think that I was psycho for staying in the house during that foot surgery, because that was the most painful thing that I've ever endured. Childbirth was easier than going through that foot surgery. It was incredible. So
really?
Yeah, the honeymoon too hard. The reverse. No, I can't tell you.
No, whoa, whoa. Bring it.
When do you sense word yourself? You're looking for after that is cowgirl.
No.
Oh.
No.
If you don't tell us, we'll just grill Memphis just till make he does. It up.
Reverse plow driver does not work.
No.
Plow driver.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Pulling Undertaker moves up in here, man.
It's not the same kind of pile driver you're envisioning, nerd.
It doesn't work after we actually were on our honeymoon and we ended up having, we were invited to a friend's wedding in Greece and we were going to be at the same place at the same time. So, you know, like, so we had a lot of people from the States that we knew. And so it was like in Greece at the same time. So we were very spirited.
Stacey Allen said, speak for yourself. She loves the reverse pile driver. Our that audience is the best.
That is on the no more list.
No mas. No mas.
No mas. There's one item.
Kid, what's your feeling on reverse pile driver? Is that in your repertoire?
Mean, giving, I'm okay with. Receiving? No, thanks.
Not anymore?
No, that's a jailhouse thing.
Dude, Stacey's rocking. I like her, man. Two C's. I want to be like, Christmas's mom has got... Oh, wait, no.
It was Stacey's mom. Yeah,
Stacey's mom, but then I was making it about me. Come on, catch up.
There's a question really? Here.
What she got?
There's a question here I want to get to because I know this question that's in the chat is right up Christmas's wheelhouse from Greg. It says, I'm 64 years old with a mild heart condition. Any advice on losing weight, please? This is what you do.
Greg, oh my gosh, message me. I have so many questions before I can give you any sort of advice.
Yeah.
And if somebody's going to give you advice without sitting down and having an in-depth conversation with you, they're trying to kill you. Fuck them. Walk away.
Hit her up, Greg. She's the best.
If you have some things going on, like, just start with a light walk. But I mean, really, you gotta message me and we actually have to have a conversation. I have to know a lot more.
What's the best place for people to message you when they have those kinds of questions, Christmas?
So Instagram is my easiest, right? Yep. So we're doing a lot of, I'm doing a lot of reconstruction with all my social media platforms. And I'm actually doing a lot more, now I'm doing one-on-one fitness coaching instead of just the mass ones. And I work, like, I've been working with this guy that in about 6 weeks, he was over 560. And he just got below 400 and he went down a hole. And like, I have him walk to the bathroom. I have him double up on the stair, like three stairs. I have him walk back down and walk back up. So it's all depending on where you are, what your goals are, and what your capability right now is. And then the other thing is that we do, I know we'll get into it in a minute, but I'm doing a lot of like really awesome business coaching, teaching mostly women how to do what I've done by building a brand and an app and getting really great clients and a following. So I actually had a call earlier, like today's my call days, and I'm, so that's probably why I'm a little weird, because I've just been like on the calls all day.
No, I've talked to you on every day of the week. You're always weird.
That's not why. Yeah.
This is just vintage Christmas.
I love it. But she just closed four out of five calls that she had for one-on-one coaching clients.
Allison Wilshire, is that how you pronounce her last name?
Is this the one that
gets to call you X?
Oh, this is the one friend that's allowed to call you X.
No, she's actually the half that can do that. She better be dancing.
Allison says, watching my bestie X live from Australia. Hey guys, loving this podcast. What time is it in Australia?
It's morning time.
Yeah. Good morning.
Sorry, I just got so excited. So Lindsay. So funny thing is, she slid into my DMs. Anything's possible, guys. Not like guys, but you know, people.
rational, normal humans.
So she slid into my DMs, but she went to college with Memphis. So we ended up, we had a 20-minute business call, and then it went to 2 hours later. I was like, yo, bitch, it's 1 o'clock. I gotta go to bed. And we became best friends immediately. Her and my best friend that calls me X, she's the only other one that's allowed to. I connected them for my bachelorette party. I didn't hear back from those bitches for like weeks. I was like, hey, remember me? They became the best of friends. And now like we're three best friends. And then the first time I actually met her face to face was for my bachelorette party, which the theme was, but did you die? Two out of the 3 days, two different people went to the urgent care.
Was this just freak accidents, or was this a result of the festivities?
I signed an NDA.
Smart.
And including for myself. And then every time we get together, somebody goes to the urgent care. So I told her that she's not allowed to have that theme anymore. We're gonna.
Should you just start the parties in the parking lot? Like next time you guys get together, just get together outside of the urgent care. So you just like get there faster.
Kind of. We actually plan it now. We pre-book IVs. And
I'm going to be there around 1 a.m. Have my bed ready for me, please.
We actually pre-game with IVs. And then we have like, you can only do it for a couple of days apart. And then we have a scheduled one that comes to the house.
Do you legit do those?
Yeah.
That's a thing I noticed. Like last time I was back home in Vegas, and in one of the hotels I'm walking past, and they've got one of these like, come get hooked up to an IV, get ready to go for the day. And I was just like, really? This is a thing, huh?
You know what? A really good friend of Tid and I, she went out drinking with a girlfriend about a month ago, and the friend ended up crashing at our friend's place, and the next morning hires a private nurse to come to our friend's home and give her a vitamin IV so she wouldn't have a hangover. And she paid like $700 or something like that.
No, this, $50. No.
Yeah, they're for this really
person to show up and pump her full of shit.
So my wedding day, we wake up and Memphis is sick as shit. Like he is on his deathbed. Like he probably had COVID, who knows? And we had scheduled for an IV anyway, because we knew that, listen, let's me and him, we're getting married. It's a party. And so we actually had the, I was like, we're going to have to call this wedding off. Like, we're going to have to actually just sign the papers and let everybody else party, because I didn't think he was going to be able to show up. Or we were going to just do the wedding and then have to come back. We're lying there in this beautiful Victorian home in Savannah, Georgia, and holding hands, getting an IV on either side of the bed. And these two nurses were just like pumping us full of like all these vitamins, and they gave him like some extra steroids or whatever. They're like, you're going to be fine. Okay. You're going to be okay today. So yeah, literally on our wedding day, we got juiced up.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You're living in Florida now?
Yes.
Because I think when we first chatted with you, you were in North Carolina, right? And then I think you were in Texas for a little while.
What fucking stalker are you?
No. No,
weren't you living in Texas for sure? Or maybe I'm thinking of Elena. Maybe I'm thinking of Elena.
I get it, but you know, you just really fucked up.
Yeah, yep. Sorry, girl. But you're in Florida. So I wanted to throw this at you for a second. Because there's a lot of fucked up shit that was going on in Florida this week. Andy, do you have that story about the reptile? I want to throw this at Christmas because I want to know
about a reptile.
Yeah, I want to know what you would do if this happened to you living in Florida. An iguana was found in these people's toilet.
Not uncommon.
This is fucked. I would instantly move.
Who shit out an iguana?
So what happened
there is I want to know.
Left their door open with no screen, and then it came in, and then it tried to drink some water.
Oh, it doesn't come up through the pipes?
No. These people are idiots. They didn't protect their home.
Wait, like idiots living in Florida.
I used to be like so filtered and be like, oh, I shouldn't say that. I'm going to say the nice thing, but still be funny. That's over.
That's fucked up.
So yeah, they do that a lot. You got to, those iguanas, they are aggressive and they are awful. I don't like them. And my mom was like, you need to kill them. They have poisonous poo. I'm like, Mom, I'm not going to go around murdering iguanas.
How do you find out? What do you mean poisonous poo? How do you find out the poo is poisonous? Do you eat it? Like, what the fuck?
It's actually really bad for children. Like, something in the poop is bad for children.
I think all poop is bad for children, Christmas.
Yeah, no child or human in any shape or form should be eating poo.
I don't have the answers for you. But I bet you the googly does.
The closest story I have to that iguana thing is about 10 years ago, Tid and I were on the air interviewing WWE Hall of Famer Road Dogg Jesse James of D-Generation X. And he's on the phone with us, and he's sitting in his backyard in Florida, in Tallahassee. And all of a sudden...
Tallahassee?
Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, you just hear fucking gunshot. And he's like, sorry, boys, goddamn armadillos. Got to take them out. And he's like, just, you remember this, Tid? He's shooting armadillos during the interview.
Well, I can't touch a firearm because I've had a cocktail.
You were going to say because you've had a conviction.
No, I'm not a felon.
Oh, okay. She's a good girl. She's a good girl.
There's still time.
You never know. The night is young.
No, I'm actually, we actually don't do toy guns in the house. For some reason, all the kids are obsessed with toy guns. And I'm like, no. And I tell my son, I'm like, look, guns and weapons are real and they should not be taken as a game. And when you are ready to learn to shoot, we will do that together.
This Tampa Bay story I thought was bizarre. Did you see this? The mayor went fishing in Tampa Bay.
No, show it to me. Give it to me.
Pull it up, Andy.
You bet.
The Tampa Bay mayor went fishing and found 70 pounds of cocaine.
He turned it in?
No, right? Because here's the thing. We did the math on this, right? So they said that it was worth $1.1 million.
And I'm like, there's no way for 70 that pounds?
That means they evaluated
it. Cocaine.
Right? That was stepped on. It was pure baby laxative. That means that they valued this at $28 a gram.
That's iguana poo.
They must have picked it up in below Miami.
Now, I also think this is why the sharks hang out in Florida so much, because I think they're all addicted to cocaine.
Wait, did you watch Cocaine Bear?
Yeah, of course.
I haven't watched it, but it's based on a true story.
Yeah, it is. The very, very beginning of it.
Okay.
The first 10 seconds. In real life, the bear did not live to go on a rampage after eating a fucking pound of cocaine.
It just died.
That makes my heart hurt. Not, I mean, for the bear. not for right. the cocaine.
Well, okay. I made his heart fucking hurt too.
Yeah, exactly. So my question is like, don't spoil it, but is it worth watching? Because it looked stupid.
Yes. And no, like I'm, stupid.
So many great reviews. I'm like,
you like stupid.
Ultra Fine Deluxe. You just wanted a little shout out. You suck, you suck, you suck, you suck, you suck.
Who does? What are you talking about?
Oh, somebody was trolling and they just got banned.
Oh. No, hey, man, if you want to troll, you're fucking with the wrong guest because she'll put you in your place.
Like, I'm just telling you. I usually ignore them. I'm feeling sassy tonight, you know?
I love it. Andy, there's a video that I dropped into our Discord. And if you have that, I want to just see Christmas's reaction to this after she mentioned the cocaine bear and feeling sorry for it. Do you have that?
But I want to know, like, what the mayor, he was the mayor and he turned in how many
kilos? He turned it in. How many I'm sure he kept a couple. Like,
yeah, he actually caught
3 pounds of cocaine. Caught,
yeah, exactly.
28 pounds of cocaine?
What? Yeah. What do you mean? Where'd this 10 pounds of cocaine come from?
So he didn't want to retire?
Yeah, right? So check this out, Christmas. I have no idea when this is from. I came across this on YouTube. This is a cat.
No, I can't see that. I can't see animal cruelty.
No, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. You got to watch it.
This is people coming together.
This is a cat.
Happy ending, Christmas. Happy ending.
I think it's I think it's at a football stadium. And somehow this fucking cat, he was probably wandering around with the iguana and he got lost in this stadium. Can we roll the video, please? So look at this cat.
No.
This is the upper bowl of the stadium. And it's hanging on.
They're not down reaching to one claw. Those people need to be shot. Reach for the cat. Like, why aren't they pulling the thing up?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
These guys are idiots.
And look. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. What? They caught it in an American flag. They caught it. How fucking crazy is that? They saved the kitty.
2 days later, it was hit by a car.
It shouldn't have gotten to that point. Those people, that you need to zoom in on those faces and blast them out and say, these guys are kitty killers. I'm happy. Like, that was really beautiful that it was in the flag and everything. But, like, that, like, I don't, as a mom now, anything with children or anything with animals, like, I've always been sensitive to animals. Like, I mean, you're just like, I cannot. Almost will get ill. Like, I will throw up if I see something wrong. By the way, children, like pedophiles, just murder them. There should not be, like, if it's absolutely conviction, like, in there's proof and everything, you just get electrocuted.
That's fair. I agree.
You cannot taint, like, you cannot spoil and ruin that sweet. Anyway, he's like, wow, she went way left turn.
Mike Sexton in the chat says that video with the cat was in Asheville. He says saved him. I don't know what the game was or what was happening or how that fucking cat got there or why nobody else intervened quicker, but
okay, see, I like the jokes out. But watching it actually, like, traumatized. I don't know what happens, but I like the jokes. A bald eagle grabbed it 6 minutes later. Why is that funny? Okay. Good shit. That was in Asheville.
Christmas, tell us about are you still running the site that where you're like, you're helping out a whole bunch of people? Do you want to talk about that?
So yeah, there's a couple things that I'm doing, but ultimately, I kind of changed gears a little bit. So yeah, we have a fan site management company. So we manage your fan page, but, I'm just like, strange. Okay. Reading the comments. Stop. Okay, I'm here.
Focus, woman.
Christmas is so ADD right now.
I'm producing and I try not to read the comments.
Sorry. Focus, fun mom.
Just go back to playing with your boobs.
That's literally that. Okay. So what was the question?
Your business. What is it?
That's it. Thank you. Good night.
I'm out. They're out. All right. So a couple things. Actually, this is actually not a really good segue because
couple. We were talking about the fan site.
I know. I'm trying to collect myself. So we actually do manage a couple girls, like especially with their high profile. It's not like super XXXS. It's like fun, playful stuff that you want to put out, but you don't want to put it on Instagram. So the other thing that I'm doing, which has been amazing, and I love it because I feel like I'm actually able to. Thank you. I have your attention now.
I'm here.
Yeah, you were not here. You were there.
I have you on two monitors.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, look at this one because it feels like you're looking at me now. So the other thing that I'm doing is I'm actually doing like business coaching where I'm helping women, specifically women. It can be men too, by the way. Build a brand, a business, and create like I just really want to pluck your eyebrows now. Right?
They're not bad, are they?
People anyways, get arrested for looking like that. So they bring on clients. They have the program and they're already coaching, but they're kind of really limited. So I help them boost to the next level because I've done it for 2 decades. And I just basically give them the shortcuts to everything, the cheat codes to getting an app up and running, content, following, and clients. So like I was saying earlier, I just got off the phone with a girl today. She's sealed 4 out of 5 clients, all at the multi-thousands price point. And then, my other client, she just slam dunk 6. So we just launched those 2 this week. So it's pretty awesome. I love it. Like it actually, I feel like I needed to go through a lot of those other trial and errors to figure this one out because I get to still be a coach and use all my expertise. And now I get to pass the baton on to other people to do what I did previously.
So if there's people that want to build their own fan site and be coached by Christmas or people that just want to subscribe and give
that's you money. That's not what I talked about at all.
What's that?
That's not what I talked about at all.
No, you just said that you do that.
No, I do that for people that want to build a fitness business online. The and fitness have business. And sustainable income and have coaching one-on-one.
Okay. He would have known that if he was here.
He was not here.
Instead of, you know,
I was looking at my eyebrows. Over there.
Yeah. You were not looking at your eyebrows. Wow. You were looking at
wow,
but that was the business.
It was for a little while, but then like it just became. We still manage a lot of reality show, right? But what that was a really good segue to instead of making money for people that are just like not really wanting to work hard. To people that are wanting to really, I want to help them change their lives with my expertise and experience.
Love it.
Bam. Nailed it.
All right. Pay attention next time.
I don't know if we have anyone else in the chat that we need to get to.
Yep. Stacey Allen is asking a question right here. Why is Donnie wearing a sweatshirt?
Because I got the AC blasting.
Oh, well, there you go. Tickets tip was just asking. Is it cold? Good question, Stacey. Right, Stacy, you're right. It is August in Canada as well, so you know there you go.
Cold in here, but that's fine.
These girls have been trying to get Donnie to get his top off for the last month and a half, 2 months now.
Okay, so this Big Ben,
Big Ben Ortmans.
Yeah, Ortmans. Jesus fuck, Donnie.
Yeah, that's a statement that said a lot.
I didn't even see Ben's comment. What the fuck, Ben? Why am I worried about Ben?
Because you weren't paying attention. He's telling you.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Are we going to pull this together, guys?
We're good. If people want to get at you, if they want to ask you questions about coaching, fitness, anything else, they should go to your Instagram at Christmas Abbott, right?
Yes, at Christmas Abbott, christmasabbott.com. You know, it's really nice having a very unique name. And I want to answer Ian. No, it's not tops off time. We already did it. We started the show with tops off this time.
Yeah, you're late. Yep.
That's what you get for being late.
Christmas started the show naked, and then she put clothes on.
We do have to get to this one, though. Big Daddy Dodo, $9.99. You don't have to answer this one, Christmas. This is more of a Shuly Network question, two-part question. Do you think Ray DeVito should continue to do a rock bottom podcast on the Shuly Network? Second part, what are your thoughts on Neil's unfunny brother, Kevin Brennan?
you don't know who either of those people are.
Is that question for me?
No, it's just it could be if you lived in this kind of corner of the internet, but you don't. Yeah. I don't know who you're asking. I'll be glad to answer that for you, Big Daddy Dodo.
Can you give me some background real fast?
Ray DeVito does a show here. He's a stand-up sit-down comedian from the New York area, and he gets a lot of heat. It's a lot of heat from a lot of people around here. And so there's been a consensus that a lot of people don't like him. Some people do, but he does a show and they think that he should be gone from the network. So that's been the ongoing drama.
What's his DeVito? I'm trying to search him now. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the question for that one. And then of course, Kevin Brennan has his own show. Yeah. Kevin Brennan does a show where he just basically yells about everybody on this channel forever.
Yeah, and pretty much every show,
and we don't give him any network.
Yeah, every show on this network is now going to be hitting up Christmas to guest on their show. That's what's going to happen.
I mean, if they can handle it
and pay
at Christmas Abbott, that's where you can find her. She's on Instagram. Actually,
one of the things that I love so much about like where I have been in the last few years of my life, and I have like this amazing girl gang right now, which is incredible, and they're like, nothing's for free.
We have one here too.
You want my time, you want my expertise, you want everything. And it's like, look, I'm not asking you to pay, but there's an exchange for value for dollars. I'm bringing value to the table and I'm going to say what it's worth and you either get on board or not. And I like, there used to be like a lot of shame about wanting to hold your own for what you're like asking to be paid for. And now I'm like, nah, because I value my peace and my time and my family way too much to hustle for free or for a little bit or to do that. And I'm like, no, if you don't agree with the monetary exchange of what my value, what I'm saying my value is, it's cool.
I literally had this exact conversation with somebody this week. Because I've been, you know how it is, right? Christmas, I've had this conversation with you off air where people contact me constantly. I want to build a podcast. Can you help me to build a podcast? I know.
That was me. Too.
But I get this message from people all the time. And it's like, yes, I'm happy to help you. I'm happy to explain to you what you need to do. Here's what I'm going to charge you for my time. Okay?
We need to reframe that. Give me a call. I'll get you to close the deal.
But it's like, I don't even want to entertain the call if they're not willing to pay for my time. And they all think it's a free call.
You're like, I never tell anybody my price. I don't know my price because I don't know first and foremost, I don't know what you want. I don't know if I can even help you. And if I can, I don't know if I can help you on all cylinders. Right. So my price dictates all of those things. Yeah. And I will tell you, I shop the shit out of my clients. If you're my client, I chose you. Right? Out of a process. So I am a high price investment, but those investments that get they return right away. Like within 6 to 8 weeks, they've gotten their money back from what they've invested on me. And they're actually a plus of income. So what happens is it's not like, oh, this is what I'm going to charge. They don't know. They're shopping. Now you're just lessened your value and you've become a price, not a value. So
yeah, that's fair.
We might be able to get on a discovery call and I'll see what you need. See if I can help. Oh,
fuck, you ain't got that kind of time in the world. Find out what he needs. Yeah. To see what he needs.
Oof. He gets 40 minutes and then I cut it up.
And then that's it.
As if when you and I talk, it's less than 40 minutes. Fuck off.
I know, but seriously, because you could actually have a really lucrative podcast like launching business.
Yeah,
and it could be, you know, like,
I still don't have the time.
Super legit. Well, you scale it. Here's the thing. Yeah. That's the second thing. So my program is two part. One, we get you high paying clients to begin with. Two, we scale it to run without you. But that's okay.
We'll talk.
Make an appointment.
I'll call Memphis and set up some time in your calendar.
Yeah, you know, my schedule.
Listen, I told y'all at the start of this interview, she is not just a chiseled jack body. She is not just a pretty face. This bitch has brains, and she brings the ruckus, and it has been so much fun. She's still nursing that same fucking glass of white wine.
No, I have the bottle in front of me. And then, wait.
Oh, there goes the algorithm.
I got a second.
You should probably grab that one more time.
I have my top on.
Yeah, I know. It's
okay. Nothing's by accident.
Anything you want to plug or mention before we say goodnight?
No kidding.
So how long is Memphis been gone? How long has Memphis been gone?
He left at noon.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains everything.
apparently, Tiff just...
.com. Just, you know, there's the website. There's my Instagram. You know, I just love life. So...
Tiff just granted a free membership to someone on the Shuly Network. Thank you, Tiff, for doing that.
Oh, wow. Tiff is coming through, girl.
She's representing.
She's a champ right here.
Your boss.
Thank you so much, Christmas, for hanging out with us. We went overtime, and we took up extra amount of your time, which is not what we expected to do, but as always, just you're cool as hell. Yeah, usually, but we went into OT here.
This is a pretty serious OT. I just have a good time with y'all.
Yeah, we always have fun, right?
There's some podcasts that are just, like, really wrenching.
Just fucking boring.
You're like, no, yes.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
No, us either.
I don't do podcasts anymore. Just y'all and a few others.
Yeah. Which is okay. Great. Which is why we love you.
Oh, look, this is what I love. She says, I am a boss.
Tiff that's is. Right.
That's my kind of girl. Like, that's it. Okay, I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to bed.
Go watch Big Brother.
I'm so pumped. I'm going to sleep, yeah.
Okay.
It's fair. Yeah.
How do you go from I'm pumped to bedtime?
Because mom energy. A human with my body.
Yeah, mom energy. That's exactly what it is.
Literally, in like about 7 minutes, I'll be snoring.
I'll be up for the next 6 hours. But Christmas, thank you for hanging out with us. It's always a pleasure.
Mwah. You guys are amazing. I love you. You guys, best show ever.
Awesome. You're the best. So. Christmas right. Abbott, everybody. Reality TV legend.
Bye. She's awesome.
She's the best. Tid, you got lots of stuff to plug. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is going to take probably a few minutes. No. Pretty much everything you can find over at my @TIDTALK. That's my YouTube channel over there, @TidTalk. You can check everything out. All of the shows that I do in one way, shape, or form are over there. You can catch us info@godfathersofpodcasting.com. For any questions, any comments, anything like that. And you can also check out my show, The Marrowanderers, every Tuesday at 9 p.m. On my YouTube channel. You can also check out The Faye Koff Show, which is a deep fake show of greatness, every Sunday at 9 p.m. as well. As well, get hooked up over on my YouTube channel because we are going to be launching a new behind the paywall from Patreon. That is going to be coming up with some fun stuff. So I'd love for you all to be able to check all of that out as well. Not to mention the fact, everything over at the SNME radio site as well. SNME Sunday Night Main Event Radio, where I do the Wayans Brothers for your MMA stuff, as well as a pre-punch parlay, which is a betting thing on the said MMA stuff. And you can find the audio version of this show over there as well. As well as Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of those podcast providers. We are trying to get out there everywhere, and it is because of you guys that we're able to do this. Big Daddy Dodo, 1999, thank you so much for that. Great interview, boys. I mean, it's easy when we have people like you that help contribute to all of this stuff and also have guests like Christmas. So thank you. Thank you, guys, as always.
That's it. You said it all. I ain't got to say shit. That's Tid. I'm Donnie. Thanks to everyone for joining us live in the chat. Thanks to our producer, Andy, for doing a fucking bang up job. Thanks to our special guest, Christmas Abbott. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck.